Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, for joining us on another episode of Cool Elohim, Daughters of Yisrael. I'm your host, Malka, Baltimore. Excited to be with you all again today. As always, always excited to share the Word of the Most High with His children and myself as well. Like I've shared before, as a teacher, you're learning. You learn when the Father gives you the message, and you learn when you bring forth the message. So I'm definitely excited about sharing this word this morning. We started a series 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, on strong walls, examining what is necessary for us in being a strong wall for one another, whether we are sisters or even brothers for that matter. because the Hebrew term ak or akot have the same root, the Hebrew root, which is ak, the aleph and the chet. And we start to examine when we say to one another, you are my ak or you are my akot. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we know whether we are being functional in our role as being koti? So the last time we were together, Yah had a study that one of the things that we must do to be an ak or an akot to one another is we have the responsibility of keeping each other accountable. Because as we are in this walk together, we are not alone. And we need each other's help for encouragement as well as correction. Because if we truly love one another, we don't just watch sisters and brothers go down a road of destruction without intervening, first through prayer and then through action. Today we're going to look at, as we continue this series, we're going to look at the dynamic of the mother-daughter relationship. Last 2 weeks ago, Beth Yahweh had the privilege, the sisterhood had the privilege and the honor to host our first public annual mother-daughter tea, just celebrating the relationship between mothers and daughters. And my intention was to share eventually on Blog Talk the lesson, but it really didn't hit me until this morning that this is fitting to go within the series we're doing now of Strong Walls. Because in the dynamics of Israel relationship between women, we are either sisters or we're mothers. So we're going to discuss that today. In society and through television and media, they promote the relationship of a mother and daughter as if it is one that is supposed to be dysfunctional. Like when your daughter gets to a certain age, she is supposed to rebel against you, and you and her are supposed to have communication problems and relational problems. And I don't believe that that is one, that was the father's intention. You know, we have to be careful manifesting the ideations of public society. When we see these things being drilled into our heads in schools and in books and television, that we really have to recognize these things as lies, because that's not the purpose of the father when he put together a family. We have to realize that a family unit is an extension of the father. The father is one. He separated within himself the word, and the word created. And we know that what was created was on a heavenly realm, myriads of melakim or angels, myriads that we can't even begin to fathom how much. Why didn't the Father do that? Because the Father is about a family. Out of all of the myriads of angels, he had problem with one, which tells me that it is more dysfunction. The functionality of the family is more one of unity and harmony, and that it is an anomaly to have a disruptive relationship in the family, because we only see it happen one time in the heavens when that one angel did what he did, and through his lies, he deceived his brothers into following him. It is more functional for us to have a functional relationship within our family, and we're going to see that through Scripture. My husband and I, we are blessed to have three daughters. And I have three different relationships with my daughters because they have three different personalities. After my marriage, my most important relationship is to my daughters. And even though we have different they have different personalities, there's one thing that's exactly the same, that they are my daughter and I am their mother. And the mother-daughter relationship is a relationship that can actually teach us about Abba. Let's take a look real quick to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to simply just look at one of my favorite verses. We're going to read verses 26 and 27. Give me something to get to a family. Okay. And Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So Elohim created humankind in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. Everything when it comes to human relationship can go back to this scripture to teach us about the image and likeness of the Most High. Because within his creation, he created two things. He created a man that with the image he was male and female. And all of our relationships is between us and another male or female. We like to teach using the simplicity of the Hebrew pictographs. And when we look at the root word, the root lettering of the Hebrew words for daughter and mother, we see something interesting. Okay, the Hebrew word for mother in Hebrew is im. And it is simply an aleph and a mem. The Hebrew word for daughter, or the root lettering for the Hebrew word for daughter, is bet and tav. Bat. But what we see is that the first letter for ima, in the word ima, is the aleph. The first letter for bat is the bet. And we put those two letters together, we get Ab, which is the root word for father. And I really feel that's interesting and confirms within our study that when we see a mother and daughter working together in a functional relationship, that they are actually reflecting the father. And another thing that was interesting, when we look at the words for son and father in the Hebrew, we see the same dynamics there. We see the father is Abba, which is the Aleph and the Bet. We see the son is Ben, which is the Bet and the Nun. We put the first two letters together, we have the word Ab again. Now, what happens when we line up the words for Ab, Ben, Bat, Im? When we line those first letters up in that order, we actually have the Hebrew word Abba. Within our family, within the people in our family, within the roles in our family unit, we see we're supposed to learn and see and look for the presence of the Most High. Relationships are defined by how people relate to one another. And within every relationship, those involved have a responsibility to one another. And we're going to speak a little on the responsibility and the expectation of the mother-daughter relationship. Far too often we hear the question, where are the Titus II women? We hear that often. We hear that, I know when you on the internet and they're talking about womanhood and in Israel, talk about, you know, where are the Emmas? And I think this is a valid question. Where are the Titus II women? Let's read what this Titus II woman looks like. We're going to go to the book of Titus, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 3 to 5. It says, the older women, likewise, are to be set apart in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of what is good, in order for them to train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, blameless, workers at home, good, subject to their own husbands, in order that the word of Elohim is not evil spoken of. This is the responsibility of every Ema in Israel. Whether you have natural born daughters or adopted or spiritual daughters. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what we're supposed to be giving our children. See, this type of woman is necessary in Israel because Abba is about continuity. We know he's about continuity because after he created, told the living creatures to be fruitful and multiply. So when a cow came together with another cow, it was going to produce its same image, another cow. Now, if you and I as human beings are made in the image of Yah, when we come together with our Ish, we're supposed to create something that's going to be in the image of ourselves, that is a human being, but we're supposed to be creating or recreating or multiplying the image of the Most High. See, as mothers, we are supposed to be teaching our daughters his ways because ultimately he is producing in us his son, Yahushua. That's what we're trying to get into the image of. Because scripture says that Yahushua said, all that I see my father do, that's what I do. And that's what we want to do. Yahushua, scripture says, he learned obedience by the thing that he suffered. So we want to be obedient. When we think about these things that this Titus II woman teaches, to her daughters, we tend to think, you know, the main focus of us sometimes as women tend to be, let's just make sure we teach them how to clean and cook, which is necessary. A woman needs to know how to clean her house properly, how to cook for her family, how to take care of her family. But some of the things that we want to be mindful of, practically what they're going to need. We have to kind of sometimes think outside the box and pull scripture from all through the word to see what else is this young woman going to need. Teaching them how to schedule their day. Scripture says that to be circumspect. So that means we need to teach our daughters how to schedule their day. We read in Proverbs 31 how this virtuous woman was actually a businesswoman. We should teach our daughters the skills, if necessary, to run a business. I don't know how long ago it's been. I think around 2006, my husband wanted to go into business for himself. And outside of doing paperwork to create a business, I had no experience in actually running a business. And I had to learn because of the way the responsibilities of running the business works, I'm more behind the scenes doing the paperwork, and he's more in the forefront taking care of the actual functioning of the business. But I had to learn that. And now I'm teaching one at a time my girls in different areas of running the business so they can now be functional and look outside the box of society tells us through brainwashing us, sorry, that we grow up and we get a 9-to-5. And you get a job and you keep your job and you're unhappy with your job and you go home and you work for that paycheck. And we've always raised our children to be entrepreneurs, always. So we have to train our girls, give them the skills that be able to, if their husband wants to start a business or if they want to start a business, teach them how to start a business, how to have a budget. We've learned, my husband and I recently, we've been studying finances, family finances, and stewardship, and how the Father looks at, you know, talks about money in the scriptures. And one of the things I know I was never taught growing up with my parents is how to actually do a budget. I didn't just start doing a budget. Now I've had a budget for years. But that was not something that I was taught by my parents, by my mother. So we have to teach our children, teach our daughters how to run their home, how to budget their home with wisdom. As mothers, even though we have all this great responsibility, too much of us fail at doing it, desiring instead to stay stunted in our spiritual growth, truth be told, preferring to holding on to the ways of this world, you know, just basically just totally shunning their responsibilities to teach their daughters what it will be to be a woman. I know one thing that drives me up a wall, I see women who are, my goodness, 55, 60 years old, and they're rocking a mohawk. I'm like, wow, really? Or they just dress as if they're 19 and 20-year-olds when they're supposed to be being a better example of modesty and decency, but they want to hold on to, quote-unquote, their youth. They think because they could fit into the leggings, they're supposed to wear the leggings. Women, we have to realize something, especially if you have small daughters. You teach them more by what you do than what you say. What the saying goes, more is caught than taught. When you have daughters, natural born or adopted, you have a responsibility now to die to self, die to your desires, die to your want, because you have a higher calling. Your calling is to be an example to the next generation. This is your responsibility. It is an honor to be that Titus II woman. It's an honor to have young women looking up to you for advice and counsel. Because remember, we're talking about being strong walls. And if you want to be a strong wall, you have the title of Ima, as some in Israel do. This is what is required of you as an Ima. You have to be that Titus II woman. You don't have a choice. If you do not be that Titus II woman, you are not a help to Israel. We're about continuity. The Father is about continuity. If our Imas stop doing what they're supposed to be doing, how are our daughters going to learn what it means to be a woman of Israel? When we read Titus 2, it said the older teach the younger. There's a lot of things in life that we don't want to do, a lot of things in life we don't like, but we have to walk it out. I know every time I've given birth, I wish I could have just got the table and left. But I couldn't. I had to walk it out. It was part of the process after 40 weeks that you push this child out your loins. I would have wished that I couldn't. I didn't have to do that, but I had to. If you are an Ema Yisrael, this is something that you have to do. Or those of you who have been given the title of Ema in Yisrael, don't use it anymore. Just go back to being a sister. Just go back to being a coach. If you're after the title. But if you're going to wear the title, then I need you to function within the title. But not all of us function this way as far as not being a good example. I know within Yisrael, I personally know of women who take their responsibility very, very seriously. We have an Ema in our assembly because she has children, but within our sisterhood, within our assembly, she's Ema. One, because she's the second oldest woman in the assembly, but more than that, she lives the role. She lives the example of being an Ema. And those who know our assembly, talking about Ema Deborah. Ema Deborah was rough when we were growing up. A lot of us, our younger sisters now who are, we're not in our 40s and have grandchildren and when we came in, cause we, like I said, we've been walking this way for some of us at least 20 plus years. When we came in, you know, we were teenagers. I was 19 when I came into the truth. And meeting Ema Deborah, it was like that was that one person in church that you knew was going to get you. You know, this was the one sister that you knew was going to, that dressed too tight. Fix that, fix this, fix that, fix this. But she was training us. She was training us to carry ourselves a certain way. When we had children, and our children was visiting too much, sit down. Stay still. Stop moving. All of our children grew up and was like, ooh, Sister Debbie's there. But that relationship has now flourished after 20 years in a mentoring kind of relationship where she doesn't talk down to us because she respects us. She loves us, and we love and respect her. And she has never purposely given any of us evil or wicked counsel. She has spoken the truth straight, no chaser, because she loves us. We're her daughters. There are a lot of women in Israel who are truly working to raise their daughters to be women prepared to serve Yafers, prepared to complete their husbands, building up houses and changing their communities. There are women out there in Israel who are truly walking out the Titus II women with dignity and grace. Two other Emas come to my mind within my relationship within Israel. Ema Sherrill in Chicago, St. Louis. Very wise woman, very fun. Being around Ema Sherrill is fun. She'll keep you laughing, but she's a very wise woman. Life experiences. She's an example to us. Ema Moria in Chicago, who stands side by side with her husband in their running their ministry. And she reaches out to women all across the country. We've met sisters here in Baltimore, in the Baltimore area, because Ema Moria is all across the country via Skype and the way that her husband, they run their ministry. And when she comes across women who are in our facility, she say, hey, there's a Messiah Torah believing assembly right there in Baltimore. You can go and get fed by them. We have good examples of Emas in Yisrael. We really do. And I honor them. And I pray that I will as I get older and I transition from being a sister to an Ema within Yisrael, that I can do it as well as I've been taught by their example. And that's part of our responsibility as being mothers. Our daughters, on the other hand, they really do expect this from us because they need it. But most importantly, Abba expects it because he tells us in Deuteronomy to teach our children. And we just can't think about that means to teach our natural children, but to teach our children, whether they are from our bodies or within the assembly. Deuteronomy 6:7, and you shall impress them upon your children. This is what the Father expects of us to do. Shaul wrote what he wrote to Titus. It was based on Deuteronomy 6:7. But now it was like expanded from just our natural born children, excuse me, family, but to all of our children. It's our calling. And sometimes we get discouraged as mothers because it seems that while we're mothering and we're nurturing and we're giving of ourselves, it seems sometimes hopeless, discouraging. But the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, turns not away from it. This is a promise. See, we as mothers, if we know we have sown good seed in our children in word and in deed, in behavior and in example, and we begin to see our children straight to the left or to the right, we can be comforted in knowing that when we go to the Father in prayer, we say, Father, in your word it says, train up a child. And you say to the Father, I have trained up your child according to your word. Return them back to the path. We can do that. Because once we do our part, the Father is going to have to do his part because he's not a liar. And we stand and we wait in faith knowing that our children will return. Now, when it comes to our daughters, the responsibility of a daughter is much less complicated. Two things our daughters are supposed to do while they're functioning as daughters. One, to listen, and then to practice. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. It says, my son, heed the discipline of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they are a fair wreath on your head and chains about your neck. When we read Proverbs, we have to imagine it as in, here's this child. Throughout the proverb is a son, but there's a child. And this child is having a conversation or is being spoken to. One by the father and two by the mother. And one day we might talk about that, but that's spiritual. Because there is a spiritual mother and a spiritual father. And this is not to say that there is two mighty ones, because the scripture says in Genesis 1, that he created man, and that man was male and female. We had to think principles. So this, the word, that these physical, these spiritual principles of father and mother is talking to this child. And right in the beginning of chapter 1, it is telling this child, do not forsake the Torah. Because if you look at that word law, go back in your concordance, it is actually the word Torah, of your mother. So when your mother is talking to you, daughters, heed it and don't forsake it. Because it will always be for your good. If your mother is a woman that fears the Most High, if she's a wise woman. See, we have an example of a mother-daughter relationship in Scripture where good counsel, obedience is rewarded. We're going to take a look at the book of Ruth, and we're going to go to chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. Now, those who are unfamiliar with the book of Ruth, Ruth was married, and her husband died, and when her mother-in-law, Naomi, left Moab, Ruth left with her. And within the law of Israel, if a woman was married and did not have children, then the next of kin in her husband's family were to marry her and raise up seed in his name, so his memory would not be abolished on the earth. So here is Ruth and Naomi back in, Ruth's home with this Moabite woman, Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you so that it is well with you? And now, is not Boaz with these young women you have been our relative? Look, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. And you shall bathe and anoint yourself and put your garments on and go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you should notice the place where he lies and shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down. And let him make known to you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I do. So here we have Naomi securing her future. It is the responsibility of parents to make sure that their children were taken care of. Men were supposed to took on the responsibility of finding spouses for their sons and their daughters. Naomi here is all the family Ruth has. She's an old woman. So she's like, I have to make sure you're going to be okay. And she tells her to do something that doesn't necessarily probably doesn't make sense to Ruth, because Ruth was a Moabitess. She had no idea of all the practices of Israel. But she told Naomi, all that you say, that's what I will do. She submitted herself to the advice of her mother-in-law. Let's turn over one chapter to chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 13 to 14. It says, and Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and Yahweh granted her conception, and she bore a son. And the women said to Naomi, blessed be Yahweh, who has not left us this day without a redeemer. And let his name be proclaimed in Yisrael. Hallelujah. Those of us who know the story, this child they had was Obed. And Obed became the father of Jesse. And Jesse became the father of King David. And this is the lineage of our Messiah, Yahushua. There's only two books in the canon that we have in Scripture that is named after women: Hadassah, or Esther, and Ruth. Ruth is in the genealogy of Mashiach Yahushua, and it was made possible by the leading of the Holy Spirit on Naomi. But Naomi could not force Ruth to do this. Ruth obeyed what her mother said, and she is honored to this day among women. This was a Moabitess. According to Scripture, it says that she could have even joined to the third or fourth generation. But, yeah, this foreign woman is in the genealogy of Mashiach, rewarded for her obedience. This is why women, daughters specifically, your role here is to listen to the counsel and the advice, the direction of your mother. Once your mother is a righteous woman, leading you after the ways of the Most High. You know, when my girls were young, we used to play this game, and I would say, you know, what would you do if I gave you a ham sandwich and I told you to eat it? And they would look at me like, wow, sorry, I can't eat it. You know, that's just a little thing, because I always wanted them to have their allegiance more with the Most High. The Most High first. No matter what your parents are doing, Most High first. And because your parents tell you to do something wicked, Most High first, you obey Yah first. So when you have a mother, an Ima in Yisrael, who fears the Most High, and she's walking out her responsibilities, like it says in Proverbs, do not forsake what she's telling you. It'll be for your good. It'll be to your blessing. There's a saying that it says, pay it forward. So daughters, as you sit under an ima, whether it's your own ima or an ima in Yisrael, pay it forward. Prepare yourself to become that mentor, that example to those coming behind you. Don't be selfish with your experience. Reach back and help young sisters that are coming up. Those of us who are married and we see newlyweds, reach out, support them, help them. We see women with their first child. We've been there. Help them, support them. Mothers, be encouraged. You know, the Scripture says in Genesis, when in Hawa, when she sinned, and she got her punishment as far as in pain she shall bring forth children. We tend to limit that to just childbirth. That childbirth is going to be painful. But it's not just the birthing of the child that is part of our punishment as far as pain. It is those heartstrings that are pulled every day of our lives as mothers for our children. Only another mother could understand. Sometimes you talk to your husband about how you're feeling about your children, and he just can't understand, because men are wired differently. This is not to put them down. That's how the Father created them. They are wired differently. They do not have a heart of nurturer. That's what we have. So our heartstrings are going to be pulled and tugged as long as our children are alive. But Scripture gives us a word of encouragement. Proverbs 31, and we're going to go to verses 28 to 31. scripture says, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Your children. Think about that. Meditate on that for a minute. My mother's out there, my emotes out there. To think about that day when your children rise up and they say, Baruch. They say, you're blessed. It makes every tear you ever shed, every pain you ever felt, worth it. Her husband, back to verse 28, too, and he praises her. Remember, your children belong to your husband. Your husband might not tell you that he's proud of what you're doing, but at the end of the day, you are taking care of your husband's children, your husband's little girl. He's going to praise you for it. Thus saith the word. Verse 29, this is what you will hear one day. Be encouraged, mothers. Verse 29, many daughters have done nobly, but you have risen over them all. Loveliness is deceptive. Prettiness is vain. A woman who fears Yahweh is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is our reward when we walk out our roles as mothers, as we be that strong wall for our daughters and for our families. So when it gets discouraging and when it gets tiring, know that we have a sure reward. It looks like I have one of my emails on the line, and I am going to see if she would like to join the conversation. Ima Cheryl?
Yes.
Shalom.
Yes, shalom. Shalom. How are you this morning?
I am blessed. I'm happy to see you on the line. Happy to know that you were listening to this lesson, giving our honor and tribute to mothers and daughters. And I just wanted to give you the opportunity, if you wanted to say anything as an Ima in Yisrael.
Well, just to, if I could for a moment, just piggyback off of something you said about the relationship between a mother and a daughter and how precious that relationship is, the love of the father towards us when we have a meaningful and working relationship with our daughter. I have a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful relationship with my own Ima. And I cherish it every day. I try to speak to her every day. If I don't see her every day, I make it my business to call her. How are you doing, Mom? Is it anything you need? Is it something I can come over and do or whatever? And it's so important that we have nurturing. I heard you mention the word nurturing, and it reminded me of a conversation I had with a nephew this morning, speaking of his brother, his eldest brother, and he was saying, you know, T.T., he said, we had you and my mom, which they call Big Granny, but this particular brother lived with his father, and he didn't have church, and so he is broken. And just to hear you expound on all that, I just had to praise Yahweh, because He will not leave you hanging out there as if your thoughts are unconnected to His word, His Torah. Because I had no clue on the path that your teaching this morning would take. I knew the subject matter. We never know how the Spirit is going to lead and how it's going to to let someone know that what your thoughts were, they're not just abstract. So So Yahweh is good. He is good and really to be praised. And it's just a blessed day. I'm glad to be online today. And to all of the Imams and up-and-coming Imams, I heard you say when you become an Imam, daughter, you already an Imam. Y'all are coming of the age of 40s, hitting your 40s and late 30s and 40s, just coming on so beautifully that and you're about to have your first daughter married, I would say.
Hallelujah.
That emership. So receive that and receive that. I love you, and I just pray, Yahweh, that everything just works out according to the desire of your heart for your first daughter.
Hallelujah. Torah Ima.
Hallelujah. And so you're very welcome. I love you all. Those that are listening over the radios and computers or wherever, just if you have daughters, if you have stepdaughters, if you have spiritual daughters, you know, pay attention, you know, to the relationship that you are forging with these daughters, you know, and build on them. You know, don't be afraid to discipline when discipline is needed. You know, don't
right.
be so overly harsh and critical that you will drive them away. I think the writer in Ephesians says to the parents, do not provoke the children to wrath, you know, unnecessary
right.
anger, you know, because once you do that, you begin to lose the parental control or the parental relationship that you have with them. So just keep your eye on, pay attention to your own self first, and then to the relationship with your. May Yahweh take and be pleased with our every effort.
Hallelujah. Toda Ima.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about glory that always can give us good counsel and good words of wisdom. And I just praise the Most High to have her in my life, in the life of my sisters here in Baltimore. Next week, Yah willing, we're, you know, I just love how the Father just orders everything. Because we ended off by seeing Naomi give Ruth good counsel. And that was just the next lesson the Father gave me to focus on as being strong walls. We're going to take a look at giving and receiving good counsel, which is what is required of us as we portray ourselves or call ourselves or desire to be strong walls, and not just for one another within our sisterhoods, but being strong walls for our fathers, our husbands, our brothers, our children, our neighbors. Israel has a responsibility to the world. See, Yah has given Israel to be the example in the world of functionality, an example in the world of righteousness. And so we have responsibilities. We have to be strong. And this is why we need one another when we begin, when we become depleted, that we encourage and edify and build up one another. So Yah willing, next week, we will talk about good counsel. Yesterday we had, I'm going to encourage everyone to go back to yesterday's lesson on Blog Talk. Moray Ariel had a wonderful lesson about praising the Most High. And the show was really just about, was just a lesson of edification and really begin to see, refocusing our eyes on the goodness of Yah. And in between scriptures, he, you know, handpicks certain songs for us to listen to help us in our meditation of the goodness of the Most High. And so I really just encourage everyone to go back to yesterday's lesson from a Hebrew point of view, to enjoy that encouraging, uplifting lesson in praising the Most High. As always, it's always a pleasure, and I pray everyone will join us next week, Yah willing, as we continue this series of Strong Walls. Until next time, continue to pray for the peace of Yah Jerusalem and have a peaceful Shabbat this coming week. Shalom.
Royalty, royalty, powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people.